shit.
So, Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, Tag Team Championships. And you know what my favorite thing about these two tag team champions are at the same time? I won't be upset when somebody beats them.
Yeah.
Understandable.
And it feels like the people who do beat them are going to be worthy of it.
Yeah, I think that's what we've been suffering from for such a long time. And that's why I was so mad when they decided to put the U.S. championship on the Paul. What's it? Jake? Logan? Which one?
Logan.
Yeah. Logan. Because Jake Paul's finna fight Tyson, so they're both in my mind right now.
I think Jake's about to die, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's fighting Tyson. But
exactly.
That was one thing that made me so angry about that, because that was one of the only belt that was really accessible. You had every other belt tied up in a story. And you have one belt that you're trying to build, so you can't just have anybody beat Seth Rollins. You know, it's like... Oh, yeah, no. Sorry. Y'all, ain't nobody gonna say nothing anyway. So we're here. We have champions that can be beaten. And I was incredibly happy with that moving forward. With all WrestleMania, I was incredibly happy that we have champions that I'd be okay losing a little bit. You know, I don't mind seeing Sami Zayn lose the Intercontinental Championship again. I don't mind seeing Cody lose the championship, because he has to lose. And I want to see a good heel main event Cody run in WWE. That's going to be dope. That's going to feed families. Let me mark my words. But yeah, we have champions that we can be beaten again. We moved forward to the next match of Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. And what I'm starting to believe is going to be a trio of matches for the Mysterios at Mania that ultimately end up with Rey retiring, possibly in a hair versus mask match. That would be dope.
I can see that. I can see next year being his final.
Yeah, his final with his son. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I'm not sure if Dom got the mask, he would take it, but I would love to see it.
Right.
That'd be interesting.
I would love to see him take it and use it as like an entrance prop.
Yeah.
Just disrespectfully.
Kind of like Vader in Japan.
Yes, and instead of taking, like, I would love for him to take the mask and then take the over mask that he used to wear, and instead of trying to give it to kids, he tries to put it on him and takes it and just throws it off to the side and just walks off in the ring.
He just tears it.
Right, he just tears it. You don't get it.
I do want to point out here that this is where the branding at WrestleMania started to get a little racist, because why was the match with the stars who have cut their teeth in Mexico sponsored by Agua Fresca? Why?
I did not pay attention to that.
No.
I did not pay attention to that.
Didn't notice that.
It's happened twice. It happened twice this Mania.
Oh shit!
That should not be that's funny, but that is actually hilarious.
The ad placements were crazy. I did not realize.
No, and check that out, because we're gonna move pretty fast. We had the Uso match next: Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. Huge family accomplishment at Mania. Sponsored by Dude Wipes.
I mean, yes.
Dude Wipes. Oh shit!
All right, I'm managing remembering these sponsors.
I told you I took notes. I told you I came prepared. I really
am mad at you that you remember these sponsors, because those were real flash in the pan moments.
Man, I didn't think nobody was paying attention to them sponsors. To be honest,
bro, I'm telling you, like I was like, whatever. This sponsor by whatever. Who cares?
No.
I know who cares now. Jay cares. Should care.
Wait. And if I'm not mistaken, the sponsor of the Jade Cargill and Damage Control match was a fried chicken joint. I gotta pull up. I gotta pull up a video to confirm. But if I am not mistaken, and I hope that little ad didn't come through. If I am not mistaken, it was chicken.
Oh, no.
I am confirming right now.
I know
it's Wingstop. It was Wingstop.
DX is trolling. They're trolling with the ad placements. Somebody is going to mention it, and they're going to go back to the production truck, and it's just going to be Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Road Dogg, and Billy Gunn all back there.
Wait, no, Billy Gunn. They called Billy Gunn on FaceTime.
Right, he's on FaceTime, and it's Xbox.
Exactly.
And they all
stand there doing
the production truck.
So, do I care?
A fool.
No way.
Do I care? A little bit. Was it better than last year where they had like the Exorcist match? Yes. But please move the stereotypes. please do your match brand matchup better. You know, I know you're only used to making wrestling matches, but please match up your brands and your matches a whole lot better, please.
Yeah, because
like we could really use it.
Yeah, because I
God, you know, damn, you said the ladies' match had wings though,
and it was black women too. Oh, and you know they don't sell grilled chicken at Wingstop. You know they don't sell baked chicken at Wingstop.
Nope.
What kind of chicken they sell at Wingstop, Fez? What kind of chicken is selling wings? Oh, you don't even eat meat. Then, what kind of chicken is selling Wingstop?
They sell fried chicken
they
wings.
They sell fried chicken at Wingstop. And you know, listen, the black community and the Asian community have both come together around their love for fried chicken. We have shared our recipe for fried chicken,
yes,
and it has
sir.
Taken Asian communities by storm to the point where they think that one fried chicken is better than the other, when in actuality, it all originated from the same place. And we all got mad love for that bird fried, deep fried, you know, laid to the side, cut up.
Deep fried is loyal.
Yeah, listen, we all got love for it. I don't like that. And it happened again with night two. Since we're talking about it, I'm going to bring up night two. It happened again with, what is it? The Pride? They're calling Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits the Pride.
Bobby Lashley Testament. The Street Profits.
Yeah. It was sponsored by Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice. Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Oh, Gin and Juice.
Bro, Snoop Dogg calling that match had me dying.
Hold on, wait. We're not talking about the match. We're just talking about the
We're just talking
about the branding.
All right, we'll get to that.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to get the branding out the way, since Fez was like, who cares about the branding? Chug cares about the branding. I want to deal with it now, because it really did, honestly, in my opinion, take away from the overall quality of the match, especially in the Snoop Dogg occasion, but we'll get to that later. This was Jade Cargill, Bianca, Naomi, Damage Control. That was exactly what it needed to do. I'm glad WWE listened to, you know, me. I wish they would hire me and listen to me, you know, so maybe I can get a little check. But, you know, I've been saying for the longest, you know, if Jade is green, put her in a tag team with people who've been around the block. I would have loved to see her in a tag team with Jade. Not Jade. I would love to see her in a tag team with Bianca or Naomi, but I got to see them at with both.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you imagine?
We got to see some black girl magic.
Can you imagine if they win them title belts and they freebird it?
Ooh.
Hey. I see the vision.
Hey, listen, the vision here. It's we really are in a new era. It's time.
Yeah, I'm like, I see the vision.
It's time. It's most definitely time. You know, I feel like this was a very short match, but it was what it gave what it needed to give. That's the thing about this WrestleMania. Everything really did what it needed to do. And mm-hmm. there was a lot of the spotlight was really soaked up by the Bloodline, and you can't tell me any different. But, you know, everything happened the way it needed to. Moving on to the next match, Sami Zayn versus Gunther. This was match of the night.
Man.
Woo. It really was. Woo. It really was.
Sami Zayn.
That match was fire.
Is a once in a lifetime talent that has the ability to draw sympathy unlike what I've ever seen. I don't understand what he was nervous about moving away from his mask, but I feel like he's done a great job transitioning.
But it's crazy because I didn't think Sami was winning the belt. I was like, Gunther gonna continue his reign. But I'm glad. I'm honestly glad that Sami took it though, because Gunther couldn't do nothing else with the title. He done what he needed to do.
And that's the thing with a long title reign. You do have a risk of burying the division.
And getting stale.
No, just burying the entire division, because it's not WWE. Oh, it's not AEW. Where you can bring in someone from somewhere else to take the loss, you know?
Right, right.
In WWE, you always have to pin your own people. And so that's why you have to be really careful when and how you use avenues like that from beating people. Like, Gunther has only been beaten by 4 people in WWE. You still have a finger.
That's crazy.
You still have a thumb left on a hand.
it's kind of absurd.
I think Sami Zayn made 5, actually.
Did he?
Tyler Bate.
Yeah, because Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, Sami Zayn.
Wait, when did Tyler Bate beat him?
Wait, no. Who beat?
Wait.
So how is it 5?
Okay, so Drew McIntyre pinned him at Survivor Series in 2019. The triple threat Survivor Series elimination match. Drew McIntyre pinned him there. Ilya Dragunov. Chad Gable beat him by count out.
Count out don't count.
And then
what?
Hey, he still won the match even if he didn't pin him. He still won the match. Okay, then 4 people. Okay, you're right then. My bad.
Pinned, you know. Count out victories don't. Because even if you play 2K, and if you play 2K, you can only win certain objectives if you beat them by pin or submission. So that's the only thing that really count.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
A count out is more of a story tool, because.
Yeah, it's just to drive the story farther. That's really what it's for.
Yeah, but. So. My bad with Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate was... Gunther beat Tyler Bate. So it's McIntyre, Dragunov, Breakker, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, no. Well, sure. Dragunov beat him by submission. And I think Dragunov is still the only person to beat him by submission.
Yeah, no. These things matter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And he got to see Sami Zayn hit a Bloody Sunday on WrestleMania Saturday.
Wait, is that what Brainbuster on the top rope is called?
Yeah, that's what it's called outside of WWE. But even Michael Cole, called it just like they used to call it in, what is that? It was either Ring of Honor or CZW. I think it was CZW. But they called it just like that. And it was just seeing it and hearing it just hit something in my soul, and everything felt right.
Didn't Finn Balor used to do that early in the NXT days?
Probably New Japan.
I think so. Probably New Japan when he was Prince Devitt.
I remember that being a part of his kit, early. Like, he'd break that out every now and then.
Yeah,
New Japan don't care about necks,
No, they don't care about necks. We have established that they don't care about knees or necks over there. And then we had one of the entire main event. The Bloodline soaked up the entire main event for two WrestleManias in a row. The first WrestleMania with people, I want to say it was started, it was bookended by the Bloodline. So it was started by the Uso tag match where I think they won the other set of tag team belts at Mania, if I'm not mistaken. Denz, you would probably know a little bit better than me.
No, they didn't win the other set of belts at Mania. That was on an episode of SmackDown.
Okay, so they started a... I remember them starting a... That was when Boogs blew his knee out. Okay, never mind. Yeah. Okay, it's coming back to me.
Oh, you're talking about Mania 38.
Yeah, no. So about Mania 38. Rick Boogs, they were defending the SmackDown championships, and Rick Boogs blew his knee out. That was a terrible moment for him. Yeah, that sucked for him. And then it ended in whatever Roman title defense it was. And God, I'm so tired.
It was Roman beating Brock and getting both belts.
I'm so glad it's over. I knew it was one set of belt.
Thank God.
I knew it was one belt that got... I dropped the thing that I'm supposed to do. Okay. Yeah, it was one set of belts unified at that Mania. But yeah, this WrestleMania had... it was twice where last year, LA, the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn gets one hell of a WrestleMania moment. The next year, he gets another hell of a WrestleMania moment. And then also the Bloodline take up both main event spots. So we had Cody and Seth versus The Rock and Roman Reigns.
And Seth finally got his main event Mania moment that he always wanted.
Yeah.
With a torn meniscus at that.
Right. I'm saying, but at what cost?
No, his meniscus was already torn.
That man had a torn meniscus and did a damn good job.
No one even knew.
I sure didn't.
He knew.
I was like, his meniscus was torn.
I'm pretty sure they knew. I'm pretty sure that's why they kept him out of the ring. Because, you know, he did something like this before where he rehabbed real hard for Mania with the build to the Triple H story. Yeah, he was able to complete the
Mania 33. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but this is, you know, I feel like he did that as a favor to Cody.
For
the Hell in the Cell match with the torn pack.
Yeah, he repaid that back tenfold.
And then
I got you, bro.
We knew if Cody won night one, he couldn't win night two. So Cody lost night one in an epic fashion to a people's elbow. I've never seen the people's elbow end a match.
Huh? What do you mean? That is exactly how he used to end matches. Have you never seen this man?
No, I didn't. So it's the rock bottom, then the people's elbow?
I mean, in some cases, he's never done just the people's elbow. No, I mean, in some cases, he'll just spine buster you and do the people's elbow.
Yeah, no.
The story behind that was that he created that move to try and break the Undertaker and make him laugh.
I know that. But,
make him laugh.
But it's a 1-2 thing. So it's like, I'll give you another example. Everyone says if Rey Mysterio's finishing move is a 619, but he never just hits the six. At least back in the day, he would never hit the 619 and go directly into the pin. It would be the 619 followed up by either the West Coast Pop, or when his knees couldn't take it no more, he started doing that that splash. So
the frog splash.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I've never seen one just end the match. You know what I'm saying? Like Den said, it's usually
fair enough.
A spine buster or a rock bottom, and then the people's elbow. And he just tags in, hits the people's elbow, and then pins him. If I'm not mistaken, that was the end of the match. And so that's what I mean. I've never just seen a people's elbow end match.
you got to watch some rock matches.
No, so just a standalone people's elbow in the match like that. I would.
I'm pretty sure he's.
He might have done that to some jobbers, but I wouldn't have done that at Mania. I would have let Cody kick out. I would have hit him with a rock bottom and then another one. I would have went that route. Honestly, I didn't like that aspect of the ending.
Because I can agree with that.
It kind of
make Cody look a little weak.
Yeah, no. So that's why I was saying I've never seen just one. You know. That's the entire point I was trying to make.
I'm sorry, this is diabolically even.
Yeah,
I understand what you meant. No.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense to me. But, you know, that gave me hope that they weren't going to beat Cody two nights in a row. Because, you know, this isn't Vince McMahon's WWE. This is Paul Levesque's WWE.
Right.
We're in the Paul Levesque era. And that leads us to night two. And we started night two. Seth Rollins carried all of his storage signatures from the main event of night one into night two. Them boys hit several finishers apiece on each other.
Oh, my God. He said he can't.
He hit the code. He said all signatures. He said signature bar full. All finishers full. This boy was hitting pedigree after curb stomp. Pedigree. You see Drew McIntyre come through with the future shock and the detonation kick, whatever he calls it.
Claymore.
Claymore number one, Claymore number two, Claymore number three. Snap Claymore. Claymore out of nowhere. It was crazy.
I think he hit him with like about five of them bad boys.
And the last one was short Claymore too.
Snapping on him.
And it makes sense now, you know, with his knee injury. And then we also
Now I get it. I can't really shit on the match.
You know, the match was cool. It was a short. You know, leave it to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins to show up and do what needs to be done to put the company on their back. That's why they are where they at right now.
Exactly.
Hats off to them.
Exactly.
CM Punk on commentary. He did take a whole lot of Drew McIntyre's time and energy to the point where after the match, instead of celebrating, he was taunting Drew McIntyre, and huge shout out to Drew McIntyre. He tweeted in the middle of his match. He went over to his wife, grabbed his phone, tweeted, "Bored at work," in the middle of the match. Bored at work.
I was just like, what? That's this man a menace.
A whole menace. And so instead of going and celebrating with his wife, he decided to try to mess with
CM Punk. I'm gonna go talk CM Punk real quick.
Yeah, you know, CM Punk fight people now. So he took his he took his arm brace out, wore that boy out, and El Campeón Damian Priest ran down and really redeemed the judgment day.
Some more money in the bank.
We can no longer joke that this man forgot that he was Mr. Money in the Bank.
No,
people was talking shit leading up to Mania talking about him, bro. It was
hey, no, but he said he knew since like September though.
That's crazy.
So he's like,
really? Oh.
Yeah, so he probably started to enjoy that, you know. Damian Priest seems
like he likes it. Like, oh, said this shit gonna be funny.
That nigga's talking shit now.
He was like, I'm about to prove all you motherfuckers.
He said,
wrong.
You sleep on me now, but that alarm clock coming, baby.
Right.
That alarm clock.
He said, keep talking. He said, I still got the briefcase.
Still.
He said, it's almost morning.
But yeah, no, that was it. That was an interesting match. I love
that man. That man swept in that ring real quick and took the title.
It ended. Mm-hmm. It ended. Seth Rollins' run at about 316 days. I want to say. Don't quote me on that. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm around there somewhere.
Yep.
It rectified Drew McIntyre.
No, you're right. It was the Stone Cold number.
Nice. It gave Drew McIntyre what he wanted, and it gave fans what they wanted. But he didn't get to win it in front of the fans. He did, and he had it for 5 minutes.
And that's his fault. He did it to himself.
No, but like
he literally all he has to do is walk to the back.
You have to be careful. Sometimes you got to be more specific with what you ask for. That's all I'm trying to say. I want to win it in front of fans and hold it for a little while in front of the fans. He said, "I just want to win it in front of the fans." AAA said, "Bet." Say no more.
All right.
Don't say nothing else. When I see you next time, don't say nothing else. I don't want to hear it. Just say thank you.
He said, I don't want to hear no bitching, no crying. You got what you wanted.
You read the script.
You got what you wanted.
You saw you got what you wanted. Wins in front of fans. You got what you wanted. Leave me alone.
You held the belt for a little while. You did what you wanted.
You got it.
Hey, after the match, Triple H was in the back like, there's always a plan B.
He had to know. He had to know. And he had to know. And that's
what made the
performance. That's probably why he hammed it up the way he did. And I hope, if anything, if he didn't win the championship for a very long time, I hope he wins himself the contract he wants with the funds he wants. I hope it at least won him that.
Hey, wait, before we get off the subject of this match, did y'all notice that when Damian Priest came out, they did the whole Judgment Day meme with CM Punk?
Yeah, I did.
But I was dying laughing. I was like, no, they didn't just pull the meme.
No, this is crazy. This is, they're cooking.
That should be crying, bro. I was like, damn, brother, they pulled it.
We had the Pride versus the Final Testament in a Philly street fight featuring Snoop Dogg. Or should I say Snoop Dogg featuring a Philly street fight?
He's pulling out the picnic table.
It's really bad when you have a street fight that under delivers and a special guest that over delivers. The fact that it was sponsored by gin and juice from Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre didn't make it any better.
Oh my god!
They had a spot. They had two table spots in the match. The B-Fab and Scarlett. What's her name?
Scarlett.
Yeah. That it didn't look great, and the spot they followed it up with. They tried to put what was it, Killer Cross or one of the
it was Killer Cross on the table.
Yeah, they tried to put I call him Killer Cross because listen, your mama named me Killer Cross, so I'm gonna call it Killer Cross.
Okay, fair enough.
They put Carrie and whatever his name is on the table. The table just implodes.
Bro, that shit had me dying. I was like, what?
And Snoop does not give any favors when the table exploded.
Snoop had me fucking crying whole match.
This could have just been a regular match. I know they felt like they were in Philadelphia and they had to have a street fight. And I wish they would have had a better street fight.
True.
Both of the matches on the card where... like street fightish options got involved were terrible. I didn't like the fact that Ridge Holland hit Joe Gacy with the chair. I hope Ridge Holland doesn't return to professional wrestling. I hope he has a long and illustrious career in some other. I hope he makes a whole lot of money somewhere else. But I don't want to see him in the wrestling ring again.
Unfortunately, he just came back to NXT this past week.
I thought he got.
I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
You could have waited until after the podcast. You could have let us have that.
You just sucked the room. You just sucked it out of the virtual room, my guy. You just.
This is the worst news I've heard all week.
All day. Wait, no, all week. You're right. All week. It's been a good week.
It's been a good week.
Damn, I should have just told y'all on Tuesday.
Yeah. You should have told me. You should have told me a Monday at midnight. Like the second Sunday rolls into Monday, you should have told me that. And I'd have been like, that's last week.
Hey, I'm gonna pull the R-Truth.
I'd have said, I ain't going to sleep, but that's last week. I'm gonna wake up in the first week with fresh energies, and I'm gonna act like I didn't just see that.
Tell me you didn't just say that.
Tell me. Oh, yeah, and also Bubba Ray Dudley was there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Special guest referee.
But again, Snoop Dogg really overshadowed. Snoop Dogg and the Gin and Juice really did kill it for me. The next match was LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Them boys went out there and fought.
Man.
Yeah.
They did that.
People are saying, like, yeah, I know AJ is hurting, and I know he's coming to the end of his career, and he doesn't think he can do it, but that boy can go out there and fight.
Right. Yeah, man, they was wrestling like the rent was due.
Yeah, dog. Just go, AJ, you don't even got to jump off nothing no more. Just go out there and put them paws on. Just go put them paws on.
Right. Just punch. Let's just. Right. That's it. Just throw the dudes. Yeah. Just run the worms. I'm on bumpers.
When AJ Styles
I'm on bumpers.
Just,
all match.
He just walks out, just points at the middle of the prime bottle. Just, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. First one to drop is the loser.
Make a move. Make a muscle move.
Then we had Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton had their match for the U.S. title. I am okay with the U.S. championship on Logan Paul now. We have belts that can circulate again. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how one weekend can change your whole outlook on the individual.
Yeah.
In wrestling.
Yeah. But still, it is rather irritating.
I went from like, God, I hate Logan Paul. He just took the one thing in WWE that really meant anything to anybody. Anybody could win. How dare you? Rey Mysterio, how could you let him do this to you? And now I'm just sitting up here like, okay, I'm cool with it. All right. You know, I can.
All right. This ain't that bad. It could be worse.
It could be worse.
Right.
It's good publicity. You know, they need that right now.
Randy Orton RKO and I show speed on the fucking table
when he barked at him. You can tell Randy Orton is just trying to have the most fun he can right now.
Randy Orton was just having fun.
Went from being the legend killer to the influencer killer, and I am okay with it. Yeah. I need more of this.
Yeah,
please give me more. Yeah. Like, I just need him to take on more and more influencers.
Bruh, and then I showed speed. I think a few days later, he posted a video.
He said, wrestling is real.
Randy Orton at 2K, and he still lost.
Wait, he said wrestling is real, y'all.
Oh man.
Okay, we almost done. This is an hour.
Before we go to the next match, that pop up RKO was pretty tight, though.
Yeah, no, it was. Every time I can't be mad at Logan Paul. Every time Logan Paul gets in the ring, he shows he deserves to be there. You know, taking it easy on him. He saved Rey Mysterio from ending his career on top of his head. And, you know, he's out here making better moves. If this is the best case scenario, money mark type situation, you feel me? I got money making me the best professional wrestler I can be. You know, I have all these raw materials as well. I have all this potential, but Let's merge these brands. Let's see where we can take this. Make me into the best professional wrestler that your system can make me. And that's really a testament to the work that they do at the Performance Center with Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. You know, they've changed my entire view of the celebrity match. We went from these terrible matches. I think Snooki had one at one point that was really like the bottom of the barrel for me.
Mania 27.
Yeah, but they've really changed my opinion. Mania. But yeah,
I'm glad that they're out of the era of just trying to grab any celebrity.
Right.
Seriously.
They need to find people who genuinely care about this. And you know what's surprising? And I know this is going to sound crazy. Like say I'm not clicking if you want to. But I would really like to see David Arquette get a redemption story at some point in time in the new era of WWE.
Okay, yeah.
Even if it's a tag match.
I would have rather him won the tag team championship. I would have rather David Arquette won.
Stephen Amell did it again.
Yeah. I would have rather him see him win the tag David Arquette win the tag team championship with Braun Breaker, not Braun Breaker, the other Braun Strowman, other than Braun, Nicholas.
You know what?
Other than
you Nicholas, know what? Yeah. That actually wouldn't be that bad.
I could see that. We had one more match. It was Bayley versus Io Sky, and that was a dope match. Oh, that was
a dope entrance. Can we please talk about Bayley's entrance?
I loved it. I fucking loved it.
The vignette.
The Cleopatra, like, come on.
Yes. Yes.
It was definitely Bayley's moment. I'm glad she got one finally. It was late, just like, you know, it happened in real life. there was a little behind the curve with Bayley. Even when they brought her up to the main roster and her booking, like they've been behind the curve with her for a minute. But I'm glad she finally got her WrestleMania moment. Oh, y'all just not talking.
Because like she honestly deserves it, because it's just like, how long has it been since Bayley has been in a position where she was a babyface and on top?
That's a good question. I think the last time was like 2017.
Before she cut her hair?
Right.
Oh, wait, no, 2019. That first SmackDown title reign before she went heel. When she cashed her Money in the Bank on Charlotte.
Yeah.
Didn't she still have the Bayley friends and the Hugabugs?
Yeah. And it's like, I beat her for the title, and then she came out, she killed them all, and then she went him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what's insane is that, like, during the time where she was a face, it was like the fans were turning on her.
They were.
So it's just like, she had to go through hell and back in order just to be a face again and have that.
I didn't think the heel run was gonna work, but after a while, it worked.
Yeah, it's because Bayley stopped giving a shit.
It still doesn't. There's still not a character there. It's just, like, I don't know what Bayley's heel character is, but I get it. But like, I definitely get it. You know, it's just me. It's just, you know, it's just a regular person. You know, dealing with wrestling fans on a daily basis. I understand. I get it. He doesn't need to be a gimmick. But that was...
Hey, she still got the top of her booty, though.
Wow. You had to hit them with the depths of the group chat archives.
Had to go back.
Dang. You talking about
to go back.
NXT on the WWE Network far back. Wow.
Rebounded to the depths.
Oh man, I ain't heard something like that since we called Pac Adrian Neville. This is before he, since he had a first name. Sheesh,
crazy.
But then we had the Bloodline Rules match, and if you thought the first match was his car, was a boy, let me read you this list. So you know how the Roman Reigns match usually follows the somebody's solo's running in. There's Solo. Yep. There's Jimmy. So that happened. But when I tell you they didn't bring out everybody who was available. And when I say everybody, I do mean everybody. I just want to read to you the list of the people who interfered. Starting off at the top of the list with the person who did interfere, Jacob Fatu. Everybody's like, Jacob Fatu signed with WWE. Jacob Fatu. All right. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I don't see. There's a certain booker that'd be actually having a meltdown on social media if that happened, like an actual meltdown, because when I tell you they didn't book that boy from scratch, and he's there, Jacob Fatu is their current world heavyweight champion and their current one half of their tag team champions. And they're also one half of the longest world tag team championship reign in California history, if I'm not mistaken. Wait a minute. Oh.
Dang.
Wait. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Mm. Wait, what? I spoke too soon. Mm-hmm. He is no longer the world heavyweight champion.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, mm.
But I haven't
heard. You corrected yourself.
Yeah, no, I had to pull it up, but I don't see anything about I don't see anything about their tag team champions. He's still one half of the longest reigning tag team champions in California history as of now.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's dope. But, you know, the tag team championships weren't defended on this show. I don't know how. That's weird. Put a pin in it because the match that they were supposed to have didn't happen. And so I don't know what happened and how the person who won the title ended up winning the title. This is real live journalistic work. But it looks like he wasn't in the match at all, and they put somebody else in the match. It was supposed to be Jacob Fatu versus Calvin Tankman. If you haven't checked out Calvin Tankman before, you need to. Shout out to my boy Calvin Tankman. He does follow Shug Wrestling on X. Huge fan, been a fan of his since his MLW run. But I don't know who this person is. But it looks like I've never seen him before. He's a Mexican wrestler. He's a luchador. Galeno del Mal. Wow. That is something. So, yeah, he's no longer. He wasn't in the match. He wasn't at the show. I have to follow that up. But he's still one half of the tag team championship. So there might be some truth to that. Because he literally just won that belt not too long ago from Hammerstone. The last show I went to, and then he's defended it a couple times since. But that is something. So there may be some truth to that still. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but people were thinking that he was running in. Him and Tama Tonga were fitting to run in at WrestleMania. But as we saw, that did not happen. But we did see Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Solo Sikoa, John Cena, The Rock, and The Undertaker.
The Undertaker legit surprised me because I thought I was going to hear that glass break.
That would have been...
Yeah. That would have been insane.
That was going to be the biggest pop of the night if Stone Cold would have came out.
That would have lifted the roof off the place.
It would have been.
Oh, easily.
Could you imagine every single member of the Bloodline catching a stunner at Mania?
Man, I would have lost it.
And I think here's the thing. I think even if they did do that, I think we still would have got Undertaker. I think he still would have shown
Undertaker
up.
Undertaker would have probably came out and dealt with Paul Heyman or something.
I can see that.
Yeah, I could see something like that too. Or maybe Bron Breakker could have ran out because you know there was an affiliation there in NXT. There's ways to extend, you know. This WWE, they could have found somebody to run out for Undertaker to, you know, beat up. But Bron Breakker would have been a good
honestly,
option.
If Paul Heyman were with Bron Breakker, that would be interesting.
He might. But we'll talk. We had the match. It was a great match. It was a long match. It's what it needed to be. Roman Reigns ended up losing because he was more fixated on his beef with Seth Rollins than winning the WWE Universal Champion. He had an opportunity to smack both of them with a chair, and you know that boy had to get his lick back. So
that boy had those Shield flashbacks once again.
Had to get his lick back.
I ain't never forgot.
And he was in the Shield gear.
I gotta get you.
Too. He ran said, down in the Shield he gear. Said it,
he straight up said, it's smoke forever, pussy.
Forever. And I would be remiss not to say that we all thought when the Shield music hit, we were going to see Dean Ambrose run in real quick.
Oh, bro. I swear to God, they took forever to show it. So I was just like, no way they got Moxie there. I was like, there's no way. They got him
for the one night.
Oh my goodness, that would have been wild.
Tony Khan would have had a heart attack.
Could you imagine him going from Mania to winning the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship to Dynamite?
No, but think of what if that was the not even the Shield music. What if Wild Thing hit?
That was the announcement.
Bro, I wouldn't have believed you if I would have heard Wild Thing. WWE are working together. That was the announcement.
Oh man, man,
the world would have been perfect, but you know what world we're living in.
Right.
But no, that was an excellent little bit of storytelling. You wrapped up the Shield storyline and moved on along to the next chapter. You put the belt on Cody. You allowed the Bloodline to move on to his next chapter, which we're going to touch on in these final few minutes. And
right.
You just leave wrestling in a better place than it was before Mania. Hey,
Cody finished the story and Roman's reign is over.
Roman's reign is over. The Rock is going away for a little while. And what do he'll we have back in the for in to leave us? Well, the Raw after Mania, we saw some things. We saw Ilya Dragunov, NXT Championship champion, excuse me, take on Shinsuke Nakamura, which, you know, firmly puts us in the Paul Levesque era because it's old NXT versus new NXT.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You can see the seeds that Triple H has been sowing.
he been planting a lot of seeds. He building a garden.
Again, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
He was just trying to do what was best for the business, and now he gets to run the business, and I love it when it happens like that. Judgment Day lost four belts, but still has now lost five belts because Rhea Ripley
took the big one.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley had to vacate due to injury. So the Judgment Day are down five belts right now. Five belts in a briefcase. I was going to say the Judgment Day were on top because they got that moment where they both got to raise the belts, but now Judgment Day looking down bad because Rhea had to drop that belt, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Finn got to win the Intercontinental Champion.
Somebody better try to go for that Intercontinental title.
In a freak accident, yeah. No, Finn got to win the IC title. Dom and JD got to win the tag team titles.
Yep.
I know they're going to be in contention. I love this pay-per-view because we've managed to elevate Gunther, Damian Priest, Austin Theory, and Grayson Waller. And that's something that we haven't had done in quite some time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm happy.
It's a breath of fresh air now. It really is.
I'm happy they split the belts. I'm happy the championships are attainable again.
Yeah, when I saw the tag team title separate up there, I was like, okay, they got to be split. I was like, this is the perfect time. If you don't split them, then what's the point? Oh, yeah,
no, they had to be split. And I have two more points, and we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the Paul Levesque era, and we're going to talk our expectations, and we're going to get out of here. We have attainable championships again. NXT, after Mania, the Final Testament came down and jumped on the Wolf Dogs. Not the Wolf Dogs, Axiom and Nathan
Frazier.
Yeah. Dripped on them boys. Ivar was there as well. Teased a match with Oba Femi for the North American Championship. That would be dope. Another meat slap.
Big meaty man slapping meat.
Slapping meat. And then, most importantly, the Bloodline story has moved along flawlessly. We have Solo stepping in for the new Tribal Chief. He runs the shots now. And since we've seen Jimmy get thrown out and Tama Tonga get added to the mix, and they did not change much about the Tama Tonga character. They just brought up Tama Tonga.
Good.
He's not Hispanic this time. We're not going to sit here and act like they had his brother playing Camacho, a whole Hispanic man from somewhere south.
Oh, that's
of the,
right.
Yeah, no,
that's
they did. Yeah.
That's right.
Let's not forget that they had him playing a whole. They had Tama Tonga's little brother
right. Oh,
playing
shit,
a whole Hispanic. Yeah.
He said, "I ain't forgot."
No, I ain't got that slide. With the little bikes and everything. What is it with NXT and the ghetto bikes?
And the little bike.
You gotta walk out. How come we can't? How come black people and color people? How come people of color can't ride motorcycles too at WWE?
Right, like damn. Man.
How come every time we gotta ride a motorized vehicle, it gotta be a lawnmower? You mean to tell me you sent the Mexicans out there on a lawnmower, but we can't just ride a motorcycle or a four wheeler? Those are for white people. If you are of color, you gotta have a. What's going on? We have biker right. clubs too, and it's just us.
Right,
it's just us.
Make it make sense.
I need answers. We got some racial identity issues we need to bring up in WWE, and they've been addressed from start to the finish of the episode. We've been dealing from it from the rooter to the tutor. I need actions. I need responses.
Bro, DX got some explaining to do.
But listen, Triple H era. First question: do you think this was the plan all along? Since the beginning of SmackDown, China cool and all, but that's the boss's daughter. Do you think this was the plan all along? Do you think this was the ultimate end game for Triple H? Not to say that, he played his wife for nefarious reasons, but, stranger things have happened. Do you see it going from here?
To be completely honest, I can't really say for sure what we are going to get with the Paul Levesque era. But what I do know is that given by what SmackDown has shown me, we are getting blood back. We are getting far more interesting storylines.
Yes.
We are getting far more interesting characters. And on top of that, it looks like the backstage morale is at an all-time high.
All-time.
Which it hasn't been in ages. And it doesn't look like a lot of these, and as reported, I believe, by Fightful, it could be Fightful, don't quote me on that. It seems that a lot of the talent in WWE aren't as eager to just hop ship to AEW now. So it's like they're happy where they are, because it seems like Triple H is giving people a time to shine. And for what is also being reported, the talent that isn't, at the top upper echelon, they get performance reports and they get access to be able to give feedback to see if there's something that they can do to improve, what they're doing. And it seems as though Triple H is eager to help them and push them towards what they need by giving them time to shine. So if that's the workplace in which I'm working, why would I want to leave?
Right, because at least they're trying to tell you, if something's not working, like, hey, let's try something different.
Yeah.
Exactly. At least they're telling you that. Because, a performance review in the workplace is important. Like, if they're telling you, hey, you need to, do better, then at that point, you gotta, step up and improve, or else you're gonna be gone.
Right, and it's also the fact that he's not letting them censor, themselves. It's like, if you want to speak your mind, speak it. And it's like, get this off your chest so that we can work to fix it. So it's like, there's no more stepping on the toes for the big man on top and then getting fired,
Right. And hopefully no more mass releases because of hush money.
So, exactly. <yeah. laughs>
Allegedly.
Big man, I'm talking to you.
Allegedly. We do have to put that on there. I
fair enough.
I think I can't be happier for Triple H. I can't say that they call him the cerebral assassin for a reason. I don't think he's that cerebral, but he
cares. I don't think he played that far ahead.
Yeah, he's clear he cares for the business like very few of his peers do. And if we're in his hands moving forward in WWE, I trust it. He took the dirty word, the limit on the word professional wrestler. It's not a dirty word anymore. I love that for us. I can't wait to see where it goes from here. You know, I said, there's always one of the moments in this episode, in these shows. You know, I said we wouldn't really feel the full Paul Levesque effect until the first real WrestleMania he got to book by himself. And even the last WrestleMania, it still had Vince McMahon's fingerprints on there because he hadn't been fired all the way yet. He found his way back in.
Oh, yeah, last year's Mania, yeah, because Night 2 was definitely, I felt like a Vince Mania at that point. Because Night 1 felt like Triple H, Night 2 felt like Vince, yeah, and I was sure. there for it, so yeah.
And see, so he would know.
I was there, so I felt it. I was like, Night 2 felt like Vince booked this shit.
But yeah, no, hopefully, you know, we'll see. One of the big things I'm hearing is it's going to be harder for us North American fans to get to shows because they're trying to do more shows from exotic locations. They only want to do the big five in North America. That's Canada and the United States of America. And whenever they start working with the Lucha Company, which I can see happening in the not too distant future, we're probably going to have to share one of those shows with Mexico too. So it's going to be looking like only three shows in America, and they the big shows, you know, the ones you got to spend money for. So we're going
to
see.
Can we get the Royal Rumble in California again, please? You know, I really want to go to the Royal Rumble.
When Wayne and I went to Hell in a Cell, they were supposed to have the Royal Rumble here. And we knew it was supposed to be here, but they changed it, and we booed.
Damn.
And commentary, like, we booed there, and then I went back and watched it, and commentary didn't know how to explain why we were booing.
Damn.
Tell them why we're booing.
We need the Royal Rumble here, because I've always wanted to go. And I've always wanted to do the countdown live, so, yeah.
Hey, so.
Okay, we got to have it in California.
Hopefully, you know, what.
They really should know good and damn well why y'all are booing, because, like, why would you change the location? People may have already paid for a ticket.
No. They start.
Was that before the tickets went on sale?
Yeah, no. So they start the pre-sale tickets at the show. What happens is they announce the show, and they'll be like, because you're here, you get a special pre-sale deal on your tickets. So you text whatever to whatever, and we'll know that you were at this event before the event. And you got like this block of tickets, and you know we were waiting to do that, and that's why we booed, because we weren't gonna be able to do that, and I had money into it, and it was sad, but you know we'll see. Hopefully one day we'll all be in a position where we can start going to shows again. The Mach 5 is almost finished. That's what I'm referring to my project car as, and so hopefully you'll catch me at an independent show near you. And when I say near you, I also mean near me, because baby, I ain't going. If it's over 50 miles away, I ain't going.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, I ain't got it like that. Listen.
We ain't doing that.
Really quickly, other news, John Moxley just won international IWGP World Heavyweight Championship about 2 weeks removed from Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins losing their World Heavyweight Championships, further showing that The Shield is still running the wrestling business. You can catch our retrospective on The Shield coming out on the Second Turnbuckle Wrestling podcast page very soon. You can find that anywhere you listen to your podcast. Hey, look, we used to be sponsored back when Anchor was running this joint, but we didn't move over to Spotify podcast, and you do have to meet a certain parameters to get support from that service. So unfortunately, we are not monetized anymore. While that does suck for us, there are other ways you can support the channel. We will have merch coming soon. We are redesigning the logo at the Second Turnbuckle Wrestling Podcast. I have Fez to help me with that. As soon as soon as those are available, we will make those available to you. You can find those at the store that we have. We do share a store with the second term, the Second Turnbuckle Wrestling Podcast, Shug's Wrestling Show, Crew Day, all share one link. You can support all of those podcasts by picking up our merchandise at the same place. We have stickers. We have t-shirts that will be coming soon. We're going to have mugs, bumper stickers, all that. Support the brand. I am talking like this to try to find the link to the Printify so I can tell y'all how to get there. And I am on this so little that I don't know how to find what I need, but you can find the store.
You can find. And this is how we're doing this.
Hey, we'll do it live. You know what? How about this? I'm going to put the link to the store in the description. So you can just click on that link and go there. You can also find it in my link tree. Hopefully we'll get a Second Turnbuckle Wrestling Podcast link tree sorted soon. Look, it's 1 hour and 52 minutes in. I got to go shower and go to work. I hope you enjoyed listening to this dual episode of Shug's Wrestling Show and the Second Turnbuckle Wrestling Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a great day.